As I mentioned, this is a bit of a kind of a homecoming for me. I preached my first homily ever standing right here, so I don't know if that makes me more nervous remembering what that day was like, or I should be comfortable, I suppose. But I was ordained a deacon right here. I laid on the floor right there in front of the altar, and Archbishop Naumann ordained me right here in this church. It does have a special place in my heart, and I'm happy to be numbered amongst the Jayhawk Priest fraternity now. So we certainly continue to keep Father Steve in our prayers tonight. You know, as I enjoy these days after Easter, these Sundays, that we get to kind of unpack the Easter message a little bit, I love the way we kind of have this juxtaposition each week of the Acts of the Apostles, which these readings take place after Pentecost, and we can see the great power with the gospel readings that are often from these early encounters with Jesus, where we see the apostles still a little bit afraid and timid. I love to go to the scriptures to kind of see what our reaction should be to the resurrection and how we should make the faith known. After all, we've been doing it for 2,000 years, so we need not reinvent the wheel when it comes to evangelization. Of course, we have to make the gospel known anew to our day, but I think we can learn a lot by looking at just what did the apostles do and how did they do it. I think most importantly, we see the difference between the gospel and the first reading because of the difference of the Holy Spirit. In the gospel readings, everyone's afraid, terrified, they're locked in an upper room. But then we see what happens after Pentecost, and we see this in the Acts of the Apostles. If ever we wanted to know how should we go out and preach the good news, we can look at Peter, who after he has the Holy Spirit is so bold and convincing. You know, we think of Peter sometimes as the one who denied Jesus, who was so terrified on the night that Jesus was handed over that he says, I'll do anything for you, Jesus. I will never deny you. I will lay down my life for you. And then at the first chance he gets, he ends up denying that he even knows Jesus. That's life before the Holy Spirit. That's life when Peter fails to heed Jesus' command to pray, to watch, to be ready. We should take note because that will be us too in our faith if we do not give ourselves over to what God can do in the Holy Spirit. Fast forward a couple weeks to the first reading now where we see Peter again, this time after the resurrection. And I'm always struck because you would think that maybe if the apostles just saw Jesus killed, what in the world could change so much in them that we would have Peter today, who we would think would be kind of timid, a little bit afraid. After all, they just put Jesus to death, and now he finds himself before the Sanhedrin. The same people that just condemned Jesus, Peter now goes before. And you would think that he would kind of be, you know, a little shy, a little scared maybe. But no, we see Peter stand up before the same people who just killed Jesus. And he says very plainly, "You denied the Holy and Righteous One of God. You asked a murderer to be released, and you put to death the author of life. But God raised him from the dead, and we are his witnesses." It's a pretty bold kind of thing to say to people that just killed Jesus. You killed him. They might want to just kind of sweep that under the rug, but Peter is so bold. The author of life you put to death. It's very striking. And then the one bit of consolation that Peter gives to them is like, "I know that you all acted out of ignorance." So he kind of insults them by reminding them of the fact they just killed God. And then his one concession is, "By the way, I know you're all ignorant." I don't know. That's Peter's first kind of homily. Sometimes we like to think today that somehow the church is here to kind of make us feel good, to tell us that basically everything is just okay and keep doing what we're doing because we're all basically kind of fine. It's not the message that the apostles go and give after Easter. Notice that the message of Peter, the last words of the first reading today, "Repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be wiped away." We don't even like to talk about sin so much today, but Peter cuts right to the heart of it. Jesus' death was not just so that we could all feel good and feel that our lives are basically okay. If we look deep down, we know our lives are not fundamentally okay. And really, if we don't recognize that, then the good news of Easter is really not good news at all. The good news that Peter goes to bring, he's not trying to insult people by telling them to repent. He's telling them what they already know. You killed God, just as all of our sins do. We kill Jesus over and over through our sins. Peter's not telling us something we don't know, but he's offering us a chance to be forgiven, to see what Jesus' death is really all about in the first place, and that is a chance to start over, to be forgiven. The call of Peter to repent and be converted is not insulting. How many times today would we hear that as insulting almost? If the priest gets up for his homily and just says, "Repent, all you sinners," you'd probably get mad at the priest, probably write letters to the bishop. Peter doesn't think that. He thinks this is good news. This is good news. We can be forgiven. All of us, I think, need that good news. Because if you've been around long enough, you know the way the devil works. He's the one that likes to lead us into temptation in the first place. And then as soon as you give in to the things that you know you shouldn't, the devil's there to beat you up with it and tell you you're no good. And as soon as we try to head in a good way, to think that maybe I could be holy, and these good thoughts start to come to our mind, what happens? Satan beats us up, tells us you can't be holy. Look at what your past looks like. Look at what you've done. You've tried before. It won't work. Peter offers good news today. We can be forgiven, start over, repent, and change our lives. And that's good news. The other aspect that I love about these readings is that it's good news that Peter realizes you've got to go out and tell everybody. They're not going to hide in the upper room anymore. You've got to go out. He says, "We are witnesses." In the Greek of the original, it says, "We are martyroi," martyrs in English. We are willing to be witnesses with our lives to this. One of the things that just came up the other day, we were talking amongst some friends, and someone who was not from KU was referring to KU as that place of paganism where this godless group of people goes about profaning the good name of God and are not very faithful. Of course, they weren't talking about St. Lawrence. They were talking about the university in general. And I must say, I said, you're not going to get a whole lot of argument from me. But that's what I loved about KU, actually. Because I could come to St. Lawrence, learn everything I needed to about my faith, and then the rest of the university was like mission territory. You know, we start off with the good news of Easter, and we say, I take it you know what has happened with Jesus. I wonder if that is really true about the rest of KU. Now, there are people that have heard about Jesus. They think they know about Jesus. They know his name. But how many people out there at KU, at the larger community, really know the good news of Jesus? This is why John Paul has said very nicely, we need a new evangelization. We can think that this is a Christian country, and so everybody knows the good news, but they don't. We need new witnesses, new people who are willing to lay down their life. And I kind of love that little bit of conflict that would take place at the university, because I could come here and I'd learn all the things I needed to know to go answer the questions. One of my least favorite classes, but one of my fun classes was a class I took in American Studies. Now, I was an engineer, so the last thing I wanted to do was take any class basically in WESCO. I wanted to be learned with my calculator and doing my math and my science and in the computer lab. My degree's in computer science. But I had to take this American Studies class to fulfill a principal course requirement, so I did it. And it was interesting because I remember in my American Studies class, the TA gave us the syllabus for the first day, and it was all going to be based on topics. And the topics started with abortion, stem cell embryonic research, gay marriage. I'm like, there are other things about America besides this, I thought. But that was our American Studies class. But it became pretty clear to me that after about the first couple weeks, I think I was the only Christian in the class, yet alone the only Catholic. So other people might think, that's kind of scary. I thought, this is awesome, because I'm going to get to talk about Jesus to a bunch of people that might not otherwise get to hear about him. So we went through all this stuff and became pretty clear that the TA would put up the modern kind of secularist belief about these things, and everyone in the class would be like, uh-huh, oh yeah, really good. Way to go, TA. And then, you know, finally, the professor, she'd look at me and she's like, Sean, do you have anything you wish to contribute? Look, well, actually, I do have a few things. And I just hit them right down the catechism and the teaching of the church, and it was awesome. And one day, the TA actually had to say, after I'd got done expounding upon the church's teaching on life issues and such, the TA even had to say, well, one thing you have to say for Sean, at least he is consistent. I was like, well, of course, because it's the truth, and the truth doesn't contradict itself. So you're all having to reinvent your opinions every day to come up with something new, and you contradict yourself all over the place. If you just stick to the truth, it's perfectly coherent. I don't know what that did to my grade, but it was fun, because I got to bring a little bit of God into a place that I didn't necessarily choose to be, but God put me there. And I think that's the way a new evangelization has to work. Peter didn't exactly choose this place. If you remember, he got arrested and then had to give testimony. Who knows how God is going to put us in a place where it's time to give testimony, to give witness. It may be an American studies class. Avoid that class if you don't have to take it. Take a good math class. But I didn't have to defend Jesus too much in math class. But whatever it is, God's going to put you somewhere, and you'll know it. It's going to be that subtle little tug where somebody's maybe saying something you know is not quite right about the church, or they're maybe talking bad about our faith. Some way, as it is for Peter, it will lead to your giving testimony. Will you be ready for that testimony? And will you have good news to bring? You are so blessed that you have kind of the best place you could ever have to learn the faith. And then you've got the whole university to go out and practice. And if you mess it up on one class, it's a big university. Try again and just keep going. Don't worry if you get it a little bit wrong. Come back, talk to Father Steve, talk to Father Mitchell, talk to the sisters. Say, hey, this came up in my class. How do I defend the faith? What's the truth? Those are the kind of witnesses God is calling you to be today. You are great witnesses tonight just because you're here. When you go back to the dorm tonight, back to your apartment, and people ask, hey, where were you? So I was at Mass. That's a witness. It's good news. Don't be afraid to stand up. Peter is not afraid. He's not afraid to make a few people mad even, to bring them to the truth. I love being here. I always love St. Lawrence because I know that this is a place where the truth goes forth. May you continue to spread God's good truth in the joy of Easter, that we have good news, that you might now be his witnesses of this good news.